Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel Rambach,
Michelle Erford,
and Kimberly Senna Moore.
We are three board-certified music therapists who are passionate about our work and feel we have something to say. Join us each month as we share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy and working as a music therapist. Thank you for joining us.
We are recording from Jensen Beach, Florida today. Yay! The three of us have been getting gotten together this weekend at Michelle's lovely abode. She and her husband are fabulous hosts, and so we've just had a weekend full of work and play and little sleep. So thank you, Michelle, for having
yes,
us.
Yes, thank you, Michelle.
No problem.
And Ed.
And yeah. Ed, that's right, and Ed. But we're here, there's a reason. I mean, yes, we do like each other, so that helps. But we're also working on this really awesome new resource. And we're not quite ready to share all the details with you, right?
Right.
Yeah, so you'll have to wait until next month's episode. But there is something new that we're starting right now that we're really excited about, and we're going to talk about that in the announcement section.
As music therapists, we all know that colleagues can be few and far between. In fact, you may be the only music therapist in your workplace or even in your city. But luckily, there are ways to communicate with fellow music therapists, whether for supervision, collaboration, or just to chat and to feel connected. In episode 17 of the podcast, we discuss the tools we use to do all of the above. So I guess we'll start out by asking the question, first of all, how do you find other music therapists with which to communicate? How did you guys find other music therapists?
It's changed
over this. Very true. Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's definitely changed. I mean, it's kind of funny. Part of this, funny is not the right word, but anyway, part of this has to do, I think, with the transition from student to professional, because as a student, and I think especially as a music student, when you go to school, you're automatically connected to all these like-minded people. So then when it comes to being a professional, I mean, you have to find other ways to do it.
They're not in your immediate area anymore, like on the college campus.
That's right.
Because you're not there anymore.
That's right. And so there's some, you know, I've kind of created some offline and online different strategies for doing that, online being more recent, because I've only done that for 2 years now. But
yeah, and I got into a very big pickle with all of this, because just my story and history, when I had to go into private practice out of necessity because my husband and I had just moved literally across the country, but south.
South from the country.
Is that considered across? Anyway.
A multi-state move. How yes. about that?
I wasn't involved in Twitter and Skype then. I mean, Twitter and Facebook then, and neither was the music therapy world. And I needed to start networking and finding other music therapists in the area because I needed to get work. And the way I went about doing that was getting on the CBMT website, I kid you not, and you know how they have that search, find a music therapist section? I searched my state because that's the only way you can search. You can't search by county. Mm-hmm. And I looked up every single music therapist in Florida and had a map and cross-referenced it and found everyone that was close to me. And I emailed every single one of them. I Googled them. I found their company websites. And that's how I contacted them.
I didn't know you did all that. Awesome.
It took forever.
Wow.
It took forever. And that's why I got so good at the CBMT website and the AMTA website, because there are ways to find people through that website. But this was probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Since then, things have gotten way easier because of the new individual directory feature on the AMTA website. Mm-hmm. And because so many more people are on Twitter and Facebook. You know, at that time, I couldn't go on Facebook and say, hey, I just moved to Florida. Can you know anyone?
Right.
Because no one was on it. So yeah. No one could direct me. Not only was I not talking to anyone, but no one could direct me to someone. Another thing I did was I contacted all of my local universities with music therapy departments and said, I'm new in town. Can I come meet you? And I talk to their professors, and they, ever since then, when new jobs pop up, they send me emails, so I know about all of them right away.
That's awesome, and I think those are brilliant examples for how to reach out and connect when you move to an area where you don't know anybody. And see, I recently had a move a year ago, which to me is still recent, but I had worked professionally in Colorado for a while. I was still in the same AMTA region. And so by doing things like attending conferences and being involved in different association work, that got me connected to people in the region. So when I moved from Colorado to Missouri, I knew some music therapists in the area already. And I also made it a point to immediately join the Kansas City Metro Music Therapists and attend some of their functions. Because, again, that was a way right away mm-hmm. to connect with people in the area. So look at different local networks and be involved, if you can, at an association level, regionally and nationally, to maintain those connections.
Right. And that was when I first started getting involved, really, really involved in AMTA, because I joined the membership committee for our region. Because one of the main tasks of the membership committee mm-hmm. is you get these phone lists where you can call, where you have to call music therapists mm-hmm. who are no longer members and, encourage them to sign up. So that way I could see where people lived and I knew where people were and I could talk to the membership committee coordinators mm-hmm. and get a feel of where people are in my state and where I could find them. So my phone calls in the beginning were like, "Hi, I'm Michelle," and my AMTA membership script, and they would have their answer. And then I'd be like, "So I just moved to Florida and we're actually an hour away. You want to get together for coffee?" And that's how I started.
My respect level for Michelle's chutzpah is like out the roof.
So that's my duty, and I didn't steal names or addresses or phone numbers or anything.
But connected. You took it to that next level.
Because you want to call people in your area. You don't get a phone list for not your area. So that's why, what I love about AMTA is that you can get involved to help the greater good of music therapy, and you're going to get benefits from that.
Mm-hmm.
That is how I met lots of people, was just making a phone call once a year,
Well, and how about you, Rachel?
You've
been just sitting here quietly.
Well,
Michelle and I are
it's
yapping.
Sort of because I feel guilty because I did not make a conscious effort when I first started out as a music therapist to reach out to others. I knew that I was the only music therapist in my city, and I also knew that most of the music therapists in Illinois were up north. So I just kind of felt new and like I wasn't quite ready to mm-hmm. jump right in. I think it was mostly I was just scared, that I was going to be too inexperienced and just not know mm-hmm. enough really and have much to share with other music therapists. So that's actually why I started my blog, Listen and Learn, thinking, okay, I'll write this blog and I'll just put what I know on there. And I didn't know much at the time, but, as I learn more, people started finding it, and that's sort of how I made my first connections with other music therapists. And after that, then I felt a lot more comfortable to reach out, get involved with my state organization, which I'm on the board of now. So that's kind of what got me into the community.
That's fine. Well, and you also, when you moved to Springfield, first of all, you had a job, and secondly, it wasn't a new area for you.
Right,
so
exactly.
I think that it depends on your situation. I mean, Michelle didn't know anybody mm-hmm. in Florida.
That's a good point.
And
yeah.
so she had to make those
And I didn't have a job. I had to go into private practice because there was no job. I had to create my job. So I had to find people to help me because I also had no idea how to do that. Like, mm-hmm. no idea how to be in private practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So once you've made these connections, then how have you been able to keep them up aside from seeing people in person? How do you communicate with them on a regular basis?
Well, not on the phone, generally.
Yeah, never on the phone.
Yeah, I actually don't talk on the phone that much.
No.
For me, it's a lot of Facebook. It's a lot of Twitter. My blog is another one, I would even say, because people connect with me through my blog.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty, and texting, I do, I like to text.
Yeah, you
take out that one. Oh, really? I don't text people a lot. Really? Because some people don't do it. Like my parents.
Yeah.
No. You know, they don't have the plan, right. So they don't want to text. So I just don't.
I would much rather send a quick text to get the message across than call.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, me too. That's my last resort right there. I'm a phone phobic, which is so funny because my husband will talk on the phone day and night, and we're just very opposite in that way.
But,
right. No, I hate the phone.
So basically, I like things that are fast.
Yes, fast is good.
How about you, Rachel?
I'm the same way. My blog, I love to communicate with people that read it through the comments or through email. And then also, of course, Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's pretty standard for all three of us.
Yeah. I stay connected with the people that I've met, music therapists that I've met through Facebook and Twitter. And also, even if, you know, not all music therapists are on Facebook and Twitter, so people that I've worked with, music therapists that I've worked with, you know, sometimes I just send them emails now and then because I'm always online. I'm always seeing information and, you know, I'm always on Twitter and people always, you know, how they always send like links to things. Mm-hmm. If something pops up that makes me think of one of my music therapy colleagues, I send them an email with a link and just say, I saw this today and thought of you. How you doing? And so I send emails every now and then. It's not consciously, it's just when something pops up and I really do think of them.
Right.
So I just send it and I always get a good response and I just keep it personal.
I have to attest to that because I get random emails from you. I was on this website and I saw this and I immediately thought of you.
Yes.
And I like that because it makes me feel like I have this little connection. Like I'm, you know, drinking my coffee in the morning, I get a little message from Michelle. Oh, yeah, this is cool. Okay. Yeah.
And it's not music therapy. It's anything.
Yeah.
Just anything.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's really... And it's very neighborly.
Yeah.
This should be titled, How to Be Neighborly Online. That's awesome. I'm like, that's really cool. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
And it's something I'm going to take it to kind of a slightly different spin. You know, I have my business mind going right now, and I've heard about doing a similar type of thing for clients, whether they're current or former.
Oh, I do
clients,
that.
Or prospective clients who you've started building a relationship with, but they're not having services from you, and you know, you think of them, or just even if you don't send a link, just wanted to drop a note and say hi. I remember this from a couple months ago,
right?
Mm-hmm. So there's a little like bonus business tip right there.
That's what I do. Like I have contacts in Orlando, business folks or people that have nonprofits or whatever. And it's to a point now that they send emails to me saying, hey, how you doing? I saw this article and thought of you. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They bring it back to me. And I haven't seen them in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even really physically do anything to begin with. We just kind of chatted on email. Now we're buddies.
Nice. That's great.
And then the other piece is Skype, which I actually had not used until we started our podcast.
Oh, really?
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I guess I hadn't used it much, but
wow. Yeah, I think maybe I'd used it with my family to talk to my family that lives out in Colorado, but other than that, no, and I'd never thought to use it professionally. Mm-hmm. But now that we've started doing the podcast using Skype, I am seeing all the time other professionals that use Skype to communicate and even to do like business meetings and things like that.
And there's even, I know there have been different discussions and things we've been involved with. And I've read it in other healthcare types of professional forums and things like that, using Skype for clinical work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole new area that is being explored in terms of the ethics and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate and things like that.
Right. And Michelle, you've done that, right?
Right. I get professional supervision, and so we use Skype. So every week I'm on Skype with my professional supervisor.
Yeah.
And I've had sessions where we've used Skype, and that was all kind of organic. It was their idea, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I use Skype a lot. Sometimes, my friends on, I always call everyone my friend, my colleague friend. It's like a cross
everybody
between.
Everybody is Michelle's friend.
I want to treat everyone like my friend.
You're
you know?
Neighborly.
But sometimes I'll think, it would be great to have a cup of coffee with them and chat. And so I'll give them a call or, tweet them or Facebook direct message and say when to get together for coffee, and then we'd get on Skype and just, you know, coffee talk for half an hour.
Yeah,
and that's fun.
Coffee
I like
talk.
That. Coffee talk. Yeah. So my next question is, what has been the most surprising or coolest connection that has happened via one of these communications tools, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Skype?
Beyond what has been created here that they're listening to right now?
Right.
The three of
that
us.
That goes without saying, yeah.
Exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I can go with that. I met DeForia Lane because of online stuff. So, like, you know, everyone worships, as they should, DeForia Lane, because she's not only a fantastic, you know, clinician, and you read her books and all that, but in person, she's just the mother of music therapy. And so I don't even really remember how I found out about this, but just through my connection, someone sent me an email or whatever, saying, hey, and this was when I was living in Orlando, and they had said, hey, I don't know if you know this, but there's a hospice conference going on in Orlando, and DeForia Lane's speaking there. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I emailed her and said, I hear you're coming to my town. We had a little group of music therapists that we had all kind of found each other in Orlando. We would get together every month for coffee. And so I emailed DeForia and said, hey, I heard that you're coming to our town. Please just know that we're here. And if you ever need, you know, a ride from the airport or recommendations for a good hotel or, you know, neighborly kind mm-hmm. of things, host type things. I like playing host. You know, I said,
and she's very good at it.
Yes, she is.
So I emailed her and said, you know, please know that we're here. If you need anything, great. If you ever have time for coffee, we'd love to meet you. But, you know, I understand you're working and your conference and stuff. And she emailed me back saying, oh my gosh, I love this kind of thing. Whenever I come to town and there's music therapists there, I invite them to come to my session and I introduce them to the whole group. And so that's what she did. And she, there were certain instruments that she wanted, but, you know, she can be very flexible whether she gets them or not. But we had our connection, so we were able to provide everything that she needed for her sessions. And she did a presentation, which we got to be involved in and be like her helpers. So we got to see it and be involved. She let us take turns talking to the crowd and introducing ourselves, which is a huge networking opportunity for me and my business because this was happening in the area. And then she was also the keynote speaker, so we got to be her assistants for that as well and help lead clinical experiences with, like, I think there were like 500 people there. So it was an amazing opportunity that I got to meet her, and it was all just through the network, through the social network.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think for me, the most surprising connection was starting my Psychology Today blog. And that was I had that blog for a little over a year now. And so I had been blogging on the Maven. I'd started the Maven in 2009. So that spring of you know, 2010, I was looking for other ways to, you know, to expand, I guess. And I connected to some people through Twitter who were PT bloggers. I was like, oh, this seems kind of cool. So I looked, and there was absolutely no other music therapy bloggers. There were a couple on Psychology Today. There were a couple of other music types of blogs, you know, music and research blogs, mm-hmm. but they weren't very active. And so I found on Psychology Today where to submit, basically pitch an idea for a blog. And I did. And I didn't really expect to hear back for a couple of weeks. And I kind of expected it to be like, you know, well, thank you for, you know, your pitch and not needed right now. Mm-hmm. But I get an email the next day that basically said, sure, let's give it a shot. I'm like,
nice.
Oh, now I need to figure out what I'm going
to
do.
Now you have to do it.
Okay, well, here we go. But it connected me to a whole bunch of non-music therapists. It's this really, the PT blogging community, it's really quite incredible. And so I've been able to connect with some of these other PT bloggers. You know, it's a very supportive community to, you know, go back to what I said 10 seconds ago. And I've been able to connect with some of these other PT bloggers and do book reviews for them and There have been some collaborations going on, and I'm in talks for some other types of collaborations. And so that, the kind of opportunities that presented, and it all started because of putting basically myself out there online, you know, through my Maven blog, and then through just sending in this pitch and connecting to people on Twitter and Facebook. It's really been a very surprising path that I've gone down. It's been fun. How about you, Rachel?
I think a couple different things. The one thing that's been the most surprising is building my client base through Facebook, which when I started my Music Therapy Connections Facebook page, my main goal was to just get my blog out there and, you know, just to build myself as a music therapist in the Facebook community, I guess. But, you know, because I have my location on there, people from Springfield started liking my page. And then I would get these phone calls or these emails saying, we found you on Facebook through your Facebook page. And so I'd say I have about 6 or 7 clients now that found me just through Facebook.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is great because I never did any really traditional marketing as far as like advertising, putting my business in the paper or anything like that. So I wasn't thinking in terms of that when I started the page, but it's kind of worked out that way, which is nice.
It's kind of an early example. I mean, in terms of the marketing world, a lot of them are talking about this, the location-based marketing, especially online, the things like Google Places,
right,
which I think we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a really early example before it was starting to become more mainstream. Good for you.
Yeah, thanks. And the other kind of cool thing, and this is more with Twitter, is that I also perform in my community. And I've been able to build, I wouldn't say a fan base really, because I don't perform often enough, I guess, to really have much of a fan base. But the other day I was playing a gig and I was downtown in Springfield. And after my performance, the guy that was in charge of the location where we were performing comes up to me and he goes, "Oh, you have quite a fan base on Twitter. We had 3 or 4 people come by and said, oh yeah, we saw on Twitter she was going to be down here playing." And then another girl that lives in Springfield said that she was walking by and recognized my voice through Facebook because she follows my Facebook page and listens to my songs and things that I post on there, which I just found that very hilarious.
I thought that because I saw that comment.
Yeah.
I thought that was fabulous.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. You never know.
Exactly. You never know what could come out of being connected online.
So I guess if we were to wrap up, you know, some of the points and tips, one is to put yourself out there. Because all three of us have done that, both online and offline.
Right.
You know, with your Facebook page, with Michelle, you just, you know, digging in and doing your homework on the AMTA and CBMT sites. So you put yourself out there.
Right.
You be neighborly. Mm-hmm. I like how you said that, Michelle.
Yes.
Be a good neighbor. Make Mr. Rogers proud.
Yes. But you have to be genuine about it, or it will not work.
You have to be genuinely neighborly.
Yes.
And I think that goes for anything you do online. You have to be genuine about all of your connections online and do it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People can read between the lines.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And also look for opportunities. You know, be open to the possibilities, because the more you expand your network, again, both online and off, it's applicable in both situations. The more you expand your network, the more different opportunities that will present themselves to you.
Right. And think outside that immediate music therapy net of music therapists on Twitter or Facebook. You know, think outside of that, like just like you with the PT, with the PT blog, and just finding those opportunities elsewhere that are still related to what you do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't think it's not hard to do this, to go about doing this, because we have great training. We have already been trained on how to do this with the therapeutic process of assessment, planning, and then going back and reevaluating to see if it worked. Because that is the scientific process for anything you want to do. That is your blueprint to do anything. you know, when I started out, I assessed that I didn't know anyone, and I needed to have a plan. I needed to follow through.
My goal, I need to meet people.
But it really is that simple. So if you're starting out and you're like, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do know what to do. Start, you know, think about it. Make an assessment and, you know, use that parallel process.
And do realize, and I think I can speak for all three of us, that by doing all this and putting yourself out there and all, and it has really enriched our lives, I think, in ways we wouldn't have expected. We didn't.
Absolutely.
It's surprising and it's wonderful.
So our cool resource of the month for June is something called Vimeo Plus. You're all probably familiar with Vimeo, which is a video service that is comparable to YouTube. Vimeo has a plus option, and for that, you get all of these great features, including 5 gigabytes of storage space, so you can upload tons and tons of HD videos. All of your videos that you upload are high quality. There's no advertisements on your videos, unlimited HD uploading, and HD embedding. So if you want to embed an HD video on your website or on Facebook or what have you, you can do that as much as you'd like. But the reason that I started using Vimeo Plus is because for my subscription site, Listen and Learn Plus, I share videos that I don't want other people that are not members to see. So I can protect those videos. So not only do they not show up on the Vimeo site, so if you searched for Listen and Learn or Rachel Ranback, they would not pop up, and they can only be seen on the websites in which I embed them. So somebody couldn't see it and then copy and paste a link onto Facebook. So you can really protect your videos and only allow the people that you want to see them.
It is either $10 a month or $60 a year.
So, Rachel, would you feel comfortable using this service to put clinical videos up of clients?
Yes, because what I could do is set up a page for that client and that family, and they would be the only person with the link, and that would be the only place that that video would appear. And then they can see that video, but nobody else has access to it.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that in terms of clinical applications.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Right, because that's, you know, one of the big concerns with videotaping your clients.
Confidentiality,
because, you know, you automatically think of like YouTube or Vimeo or whatever to upload that video and share it, but hello, that's going to show up in the search engine, that's going to show up in all these places, but with Vimeo Plus, that's not a concern.
Very cool.
And also, even if you were a supervisor or if you wanted to have another music therapist watch you work, which I always want people to see me work, and with the paper sign and everything, this is a way for you to share your sessions with your supervisor, your professional supervisor.
And get feedback.
For feedback. Mm-hmm. I wonder what this could do with education, too.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of ways you can expand on this, and I'm looking forward to using it in other
ways
situations.
That we can't tell you about right now.
Exactly. I'm trying not to say too much, but.
So in our effort to really, you know, want to get your feedback and listen to you, you're going to find something new on the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast website. And there's in the right-hand sidebar, there's a link to suggest a guest. We, you know, the three of us are connected to different people and things like that, but if there's anybody you would really like to hear from, an expert in the field, somebody who's done something locally that is like, that is a brilliant idea and really other people need to know about this, we have a really simple form online, suggest a guest, to basically, I guess, kind of nominate this person or suggest them as somebody to be interviewed on the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast. And it doesn't have to be somebody else that you just know. It can be you as well. So it's a really easy form. You just fill out, you know, name, basic email, not even basic contact information. It's just email and just a brief description of why you think you yourself or this person would have some really helpful, good information to share for other music therapists and music therapy students. So we'd love to see more people involved. We really want to hear from you. That's basically it. We want to know what you want.
And we want to be able to help you connect with other people. This doesn't have to be someone that you know. Maybe there's a music therapy celebrity you want to hear from. Let us introduce them to you and give us that opportunity. We'd love to, you know, open the door for you.
Thank you for joining us. To read a transcript of the show, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com, where you will also find links to each of our personal blogs. You can get podcast episodes sent directly to you by subscribing to the Music Therapy Roundtable through iTunes. If you enjoy our podcast, please write an iTunes review. It helps our rankings, which allows us to reach more people like you. If you have a comment or question, email us at info@musictherapyroundtable.com. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll talk again next month.